Welcome to episode 288 of the Family Podcast Network. Today begins part one of a series that we're going to do over the next few weeks on unschooling and homeschooling, with specific emphasis today on let's take a look at how do kids really learn and how modern public education system does not help that. Stay tuned for that and more.
Welcome to the Family Podcast Network, where we help you work with your tough kids, and even those that aren't. Coming to you from Tuscola, Texas, home and headquarters of the Family Podcast Network, here's your host, Trey Gibson.
Well, hello and welcome to this episode of the Family Podcast Network, helping you work with your tough kids, and even those that aren't. It doesn't matter if you're expecting, if you're a brand new mom and dad, or even if you're a longtime seasoned parent. There is always something we can do to take our parenting to the next level. The date today is February the 26th, 2014. It is middle of the week Wednesday. Before we jump into all this, guys, real quick, want to let you know what happened this week. Why was there no show on Monday? Here's what we're going to do. Jeff is actually spending some quality time with his family, and they've been up by the Grand Canyon and going to Disneyland, I believe. And anyway, his family have just been having just an all-out sorts of good time. Anyway, he's not going to be here Friday for this episode of the Real Family Guys podcast, so we were going to take Friday off. Well, Sunday evening, I was getting ready to do all this and get ready to put the show together, and I'm going to be frank with you. I was really flapping tired, and I just got finished doing some dishes really, really late that evening after we got done with everything, and I was just so exhausted, I was ready to go to bed. So my wife and I went to bed much earlier that week. We had a very long weekend. Over the weekend, it was a great weekend, but nonetheless, we need a little bit of a rest and recovery time. So what we're going to do is we're going to go ahead and do a show today for Family Podcast Network, and instead of doing a Real Family Guys podcast on Friday or taking off, then what I'm going to do is I'm going to go ahead and just do two regular FPN shows, one for today's Wednesday and one for Friday. So you guys are still going to get your two shows, sans the one that would have been off for Jeff being out of town with family. Still going to get that anyway. You're just going to get a little bit different schedule than you guys are used to. So stay tuned for that. Before we get into our topic today, I'm going to go ahead and just trim our intro segment down super short. Guys, if you want to stay notified of all the new episodes that are coming out on the Family Podcast, make sure you go to thefamilypodcast.com, enter your name and your email address in the sidebar. You'll make sure that you stay notified of all the new episodes that come out and never miss a single episode. Guys, you can also support the show by becoming a PTACker, Parents for the Ethical Treatment of Adolescents and Kids. That's just our funny twist on the words PETA. That you can support this show. If you're like, man, I really feel like we're getting 30 cents per episode with this, with watching this with Trey. I really feel like it's been helpful. I'm learning. I'm gaining. I want to meet some new people in this community. Hey, there's a simple, easy way you can do that. Become a PTACker. $5 a month or $50 for an entire year does get you access to premium membership that it's only available to members. Only. I said only a lot. Sorry, guys. And then last, if you have any questions, comments, thoughts, concerns, an article you want me to cover, a topic you'd like me to do some research on and put it out there, stay tuned for that, guys. You can do it by always emailing me at treygibson@thefamilypodcastnetwork.com. Go to the right-hand side of thefamilypodcast.com where it says ask Trey or Jeff a question. Click on that bad boy. You can record a voicemail or call us 661-PARENT-0. Again, that number is 661-PARENT and the number 0. All right, guys. With all of that out of the way today, let's jump into our topic for today, which is going to be a series that we're going to do. This is going to be part one of a long series that we're going to be doing over the next few weeks that is over the idea of unschooling and homeschooling. I have gotten a lot of questions on homeschooling and unschooling both. And it's not mutually exclusive. It's not like we're getting more about unschooling or more about homeschooling. We've just been getting a lot of questions about both of those. Lots of questions for what are Corey, my wife, and I doing with unschooling and homeschooling and all that other good stuff. What works? How does it go? So anyway, we're gonna be doing a series of these things, and I have an anticipation. I'm going to be putting a request into a show that's one of my favorite shows. The majority of you guys who are longtime listeners to this are actually converts that came over, not converts, but y'all are migratory folks from the show, the Survival Podcast. So we're actually going to be putting in another show request to go in and talk about unschooling and homeschooling on there as well. And so in kind of a preparation for that, we're just popping out a lot of shows that are going to be in that specific category, because I suspect that many people are going to want to come over here and learn some more. However, that combined with the amount of show requests that we have gotten over these kinds of questions, I think it's just time to start going ahead and biting down and jumping into this and going ahead and getting these shows knocked out. We've got a few of them that are done in the past, but I want to also include some updated stuff for what are we doing now with homeschooling, unschooling, what has been our success stories, because in a lot of the stuff we talked about before, it was very speculative. Here's what we think is going to happen, so we're going to try this. Now we've got some definitive information and factual data that we can actually kind of add into these and talk about what's working, what's not, and what do we like, what do we change, what we do different, what are some of the things that freaked us out, etc. We're going to kind of go through a series of those over the next few weeks. You know, but today, before we get into that, I real quick want to read you guys. You know, I get a lot of, oh, Trey, hey, thanks for what you do. It's great. It's awesome and whatnot. And I tell you, feedback is some of my favorite thing. And I can't even begin to express to you guys how meaningful it is whenever you guys send me your plus ones and, hey, I sure do appreciate that and thanks for this and all that stuff. But every so often, there's one of them that I get that is just particularly fantastic to me. It is particularly kind, and it speaks of and it smacks to the wonder of what Family Podcast Network is about. So this one was particularly a favorite of mine. This is from Phil in Texas. He said, Trey, I wanted to tell you thank you for pointing out all the impact that Affirming Kids has. We have been trying to make a huge effort to do this lately, and their response has been phenomenal. I appreciate you more than you know. I honestly don't know what our family dynamic would look like right now if I hadn't talked to you a couple of years ago about this stuff. We were kind of heading the direction that my family went, which was belts and yardsticks. No joke. Man. That is what I'm talking about. Woohoo! I mean, seriously, that is what the Family Podcast Network was created for, is how do we start taking the stress out of parenting? And this is a fantastic story about that. That when you begin to focus and emphasize relationship, de-emphasize the adding of punishments and et cetera. Don't get me wrong. I'm a huge proponent for consequences. I'm a huge proponent for letting kids fall on their butt. I'm a huge proponent for setting up boundaries with kids to say, I ain't gonna fly. However, when we get this idea that it has to be through the application of a belt or a yardstick or a paddle or, you know, taking their stuff away, all that other stuff, and we de-emphasize the importance of relationship, I think when we can realize that and begin to make the right changes, I think that we can take take stress out of parenting. Not all of it, but I'm talking about that distress, that stuff that negatively affects us, that tears our body down. I think it's possible. So anyway, Phil, I want to say appreciate you for shooting that in. That was, out of all the ones I get, that one was especially meaningful to me. And so anyway, thanks for sending that in. Okay, guys, with that done, let's talk about what we're going to go over today in our topic. So again, like I mentioned earlier in the intro segment, we're going to start kind of a series of homeschooling and unschooling podcasts, because I've had so many people that are beginning to ask questions. And I was sitting down thinking about, why is it that all of a sudden we're getting all these questions about homeschooling and unschooling, and why is this so big? And it started to make sense to me. Many of you guys, I started listening to me 2 years ago, 3 years ago, back when we initially started. And I mean, some of you guys have been with me since I was literally recording this in my car on my iPhone. My very original first iPhone I ever had, when I was recording on that, you guys were listening to me back then. And so many of you got into this because y'all had babies, and y'all looked at this and you were like, oh my goodness, you know, what do I need to be doing here? Maybe you had kids that were a year old or something like that, and you recognized that there was very different stuff that was going to be coming with these kiddos. And so you began listening to this, guys, very young. And so now I've had some of you guys as listeners for so stinking long that now your kids are beginning to grow up. And it's kind of a neat thing to think about. And now you guys are like, oh goodness, it's about time to start really putting these kids through some type of education. Trey sold me on the idea of homeschooling and or unschooling. So we need to get some ideas on what we do here. I mean, how do we need to treat our kids? What do we need to be doing? And so now we're getting kind of a crop of parents that are looking at this saying, okay, it's time for this. What do I need to do? So we're going to break this down over the next few weeks, going through these two different topics that we've mentioned. And I want to start somewhere very specific. And I want to start about to understand the idea of homeschooling and unschooling as well as I need you to be able to understand it. Even if you don't agree with me, what I need you to understand, it all begins with understanding this one fundamental ideology, and is that we've got to know how kids learn. It is the most important part of all of this. We have to understand how kids take in and assimilate information. They break it down and they store it in their brain, where not just that they can parrot it back through memorization, but that they can begin to take that information, assimilate it, and put it into usable, actionable information. Something that they can even cross over into multiple ever fields and ideas and things, even if it's not exactly what they studied, that you can pull that over and you can use it elsewhere. That's what we're talking about. How do kids learn? And I'm going to walk you guys through, I think it's like 15 or 16 different things that I need you guys to understand what learning is about. So I want to start you guys out with rule number one about what is learning and what should learning be for a kid if you want them to be successful. Don't get me wrong. Now, I'm going to say a few things in here about public education systems, and I know that I've got some teachers, or I've got people that listen to this who have teachers that are their wives or their husbands or are their family, their moms and their dads, and I'm probably going to piss you guys off today. But I need to start out very definitively. Any level of frustration or upsetness or sensitivity that you have to this today is because you're not listening to me right now. I do not hate teachers. I think there are so many teachers that get in there that do wonderful things, that care about the kids that they get in there for. They walk into it with a desire to see them learn and to grow and to go and be successful. There are wonderful people that are teachers. All teachers are not bad. Do you hear me? You may be one of the good teachers. What I do think is I see too many freaking teachers get into this who have no skill set, no knowledge, or even if they do, they're not exceptional teachers. But they run around wanting everybody to qualify them as some kind of amazing freaking American hero. Oh my God, look at me and how star-spangled awesome I am because I became a freaking teacher. And that's bullcrap. There are amazing teachers out there. Teacher Tom is one of those to me. He is a guy who's got it. He's got it in a way that I think he's doing everything right. I think he's got the full experience of what he needs to see kids learn. He fights the educational system for what's wrong with it, and he pushes to make a better educational system for kids. But there are too many teachers out there that want a big old frickin' gold mother fracking star because they showed up to teach kids information, which really interprets into, I showed up to help kids memorize information and never fall in love with learning. That is not good teaching. I should have figured I'd get fired up about this. If this is your first time listening, I rarely get this upset, but this stuff with teaching pisses me off, and we've got to get real about it. We've got to get serious about it, because if we sit there walking around with mediocre educational systems, we're going to have mediocre educations on all our kids. It's time to nut up on this, guys, and start taking kids' education serious. So if your butt hurt, this may not be the podcast for you today. Not today. Come back when you're ready. Come back when you're able to listen to what we're talking about today. But we're going to get into, what are we talking about? So with the disclaimer, this actually all had a disclaimer at the start, right? I'm trying to tell you guys that I'm not here to hurt your feelings. I'm not here to make you upset. This is not because all teachers are horrible. This is about a system that sucks. It's about a system that you guys get forced into that does not work for kids, it does not work for you, and it creates more anxiety and stress for you and the kids, and they don't learn crap. That's right. When a human being is stressed out, we release a chemical in the brain called cortisol. It's the stress hormone, stress chemical in the brain. Cortisol has been shown to block the ability to memorize information, which is the exact opposite thing of what we're wanting, right? And we're going to talk a little bit today about the tenets of what we're going to be going over for unschooling particularly, and why it is that the public education system fails, and why it is that this unschooling has the potential to help kids be successful. So we got 15 of those today. Let's start with number one. When it comes to what should we be doing for our kids, we need to make sure that our kids know that learning is something that kids want to do, not something they have to do. That's right. In many times in public educational systems, and even in some of the homeschools that are out there, we make learning not something that is fun, something that is enjoyable, something that gets them knowledge or information that they're fascinated or interested with, something that creates within them a hunger to go seek out more information. We teach that it's something that they have to do. It's just a part of taking the toll. You clock in on your blue-collar wage job, and you do your hard work, and you clock out at the end of the day. Maybe you get an hour, a little break in there for lunch. But you got to learn, right? And then, of course, any learning that they're going to do, it's going to be something that I thought of as teacher. And I'm saying that as a home educator as well. It's something that I thought up, and it's something that I give a crap about. Things that I care about. It's things that I think that you should do. Not things that our kids have an interest in because they think they should do it. Now, I know the naysayers in this are going to jump in and say, well, Trey, sometimes kids have to do the things that they don't like. I don't disagree with that. However, what if we could make it something that they were intrinsically interested in? I think I've told this story before, but you know why? You know, when we were working with Anna with spelling, with reading, you know, what was happening was that she really had no interest in reading, and we did not push her. We did not force it. We did not say she has to learn how to read or she has to learn her alphabet. We just kind of let it go. And she started going a little further to the point that I was starting to get a little bit nervous about it. But we followed these principles. One day, we got her this cool little biology book that was like a National Geographic book, but it had every single animal that we could ever find, and it had fun little interesting facts in there. And we got that book, and we bought it for her, and we set it on the table. And she goes, Dad, read this to me. I said, no, baby. It's time for you to start reading on your own, baby. And she kind of got fussy about that for a day or two. And finally, one day, I saw her sitting down, and she had pulled out all of her homeschooling materials, all this stuff. And she was sitting there copying the letters. She said, Dad, what sound does this make? And so we started sitting down, and we worked out the sounds, etc. Every single morning when we would wake up, because she was so intrinsically motivated on the inside to make it happen, she sat there and she struggled through reading the back of cereal boxes. Until now, today, she just walks up and pops a phrase off. My daughter, who is 7 years old, started this endeavor when she was not quite six, taught herself how to read in less than 2 months. Did you hear what I said? No teacher, no home curriculum books that she was forced to go through, no tutor, nothing, not even a computer program. My daughter taught herself how to read the English language in 2 months. My daughter is not overly intelligent. I think she's average right across the board. My daughter is not a savant. She is your traditional child. But she taught herself to read in 2 months. Your kids can do that too. I dropped the bomb on you guys early. Number two, whenever it is absolutely able to, you need to stop being patronizing. I'm telling you guys this. This is one of the things that I see as being the fun busting, no way that they're going to learn from us at all, is that when we patronize our kids. I see that so much in learning environments. So what do I mean when I say that? Because I know some of you guys have tried. I don't patronize a kid. I don't do anything to make them feel bad about themselves or make them feel less than. Bullcrap. How often is it that we sit there and feed our young kids these goofy, doofy, dopey little crap books that are ridiculous, that don't look, I mean, that they're just silly little children's things, when our kids are ready to start reading big boy books and start having cool resources? They want to start using the full-size scissors, the real scissors. But we don't let them do that. You're going to use these little kiddie things that don't really teach you anything about life. Guys, I'm not saying there's anything wrong with these books. We have a bookshelf full of everything from Winnie the Pooh to Shel Silverstein to SpongeBob SquarePants in terms of books. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with kiddie books. But so often we spend so much time requiring that our kids to read Dora the Explorer that we don't let them crack open the ornithology books that we have from college. Well, they wouldn't get that. They wouldn't understand anything in there. I tell you what, why don't you read this one that has lots of pictures? Don't get me wrong, guys. I still love pictures. As a full-grown adult, I still like books with pictures. But I think we patronize our kids. We look down on them. We don't let them, you know, have any semblance of idea that they can start participating in anything, you know, at least nothing that's ever bigger than their assigned level of education. You are a blank grader. You should be reading blank grader stuff. Why? You see, I think this is the kind of thing that dissuades us from exceptionalism, from having kids that grow up being exceptional. They can't. They're shoved in a box. They're labeled a blank grader and told you stay there and do that. And if you're not fast enough, you're retarded. And if you're too fast, well, then you wind up getting into a whole other thing about gifted and talented. Let's don't get into that today. But either you don't get accelerated to where the rate that you want to go, or you get stamped into, oh, look, you're able to memorize things faster than other kids. Let's smack you into the special, I mean, the GT program or whatever else. Don't patronize your kid. Look to see what they're ready for. Ask them what they're ready for and provide them with the resources that they need to do to be able to learn at the rate that they feel they should be able to. Number three, do all the fun stuff all by yourself. This is one of the toughest ones as a parent that I think we can get into. Because a lot of times whenever we come up with stuff that's about education kids or teaching them to do something or keeping them activities or whatever else it is, I think we have a tendency to give them all the dumb crap. And when they're little, they don't mind this. They think that's really fun. But every kid experiences that desire that as they begin to become more proficient at a task, they often want new tasks. They want new things that they can stretch the legs on, new things that they can try. It's why whenever the kiddos were very, very content with helping pick up in the trash in the kitchen whenever we were straightening up, all of a sudden they want to start washing dishes one day. It's the reason why before when they were perfectly content to be able to, you know, help bring you the spatula while you're baking a cake, now all of a sudden they want to start cracking the eggs. Kids love to do new stuff. But we have a tendency to look at all these jobs and think, it's going to be too messy, it's going to be too this, I don't want to have to deal with that, I don't want to hear screaming later because all y'all are fighting. And so we have a tendency to do all the fun stuff ourselves. And then we let the kids do all the dumb stuff. We choose everything for them. We plan where we're going to go for the day. Everything is a choice that we make. So whenever there's something that's fun to do, like making big choices about what we're going to do or where we're going to go or how we're going to do it, we make all those decisions ourselves. Do not do that. Allow your kid to be a part of choosing fun stuff. Make sure that whenever something requires some kind of decision or some kind of you're doing pros and cons of something, you know, if you're deciding where we're going to spend our money, you know, what are we going to choose, right? Make sure that you're not the only one doing that. Let your kids be a part of that process. That is a part of learning. Our next one, we got to start allowing our kids to be creative. It's one of the things we've lost some of the most of when it comes to our educational system is that our kids are not allowed to be creative. And I'm not talking about just allowing them pick what color of pen we're going to grade their paper in or what kind of cool sticker we're going to put on them at the end. I'm talking about really let them be creative. Let them think. Let them do things that we never considered. Yes, it is likely going to be messy. But let our kids be creative. When we allow our kids to sit down and use the recesses of those brains that in most cases public school spends the next remainder of their life trying to suppress, when we let them use that piece of their brain, you get to see amazing stuff. And I know how hard that is, guys. I know how difficult it is to let kids be creative and do things and think outside the box. I know that sometimes our kids defer to us and they want us to choose things for them, but we've got to get our kids thinking. The next one off that I'm majorly passionate about is that we've got to stop doing everything for our kids. I mean, I watch parents that homeschool these kids, and I think parents get so overwhelmed at the idea of homeschooling and unschooling because they look at it and they see, oh my gosh, I've got to be the teacher for however many kids I have, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 kids. That's a lot of work. And you know, underneath the traditional perspectives, I completely agree. I mean, I want you to think about public schools and their natural way that they do activities, right? They do everything and they have them all set out and made and ready for them to go. You know, I remember whenever I used to take kids on a therapeutic level, I used to take them to a place, a camp that was about dealing with grief. So these were kids that had lost their mom or dad through death or divorce in a lot of cases and those kinds of things. And so we would go out there and I remember that they would always get to build birdhouses, but they never got to do the fun stuff to me. They basically got a house that was completely cut out and completely ready to just add glue and assemble. I mean, it was just so cheese whiz. And I think it would have been made so much better if the kids could actually be a part of taking a piece of wood and making it into something that eventually would build into something and allow them to be creative and to create new things. But we have this tendency to want our kids to experience success so badly. Do we want to have everything put together so that it's just like putting bumpers on the bowling alley? We just want that ball to ricochet back and forth till it gets down there and hits some pins. But half the time it seems like everybody wants to put the bumpers up so that way the ball will roll down and bump off the wall so it gets to the pins. But they've also added like explosive to all the pins so that when they get down they can detonate a little button and blow them all up and they'll all be gone. Strike, right? Crappy metaphor. But nonetheless, I think it works. I think whenever we think about ideas of, you know, going on trips and things like that, you know, one of the big things in the Casa de Gibson is we like to take out, you know, make outings and adventures and whatnot. We've got our next one coming up. We're planning on running up to Fossil Rim. And we plan on running up to Glenrose, Texas, which has got a wonderful dinosaur park where there's a lot of old petrified dinosaur tracks and stuff like that. Oh, my gosh, my kids are going to poo themselves. But I think we have a tendency to do all the work for them. Never allow the kids to call ahead and see what do we want to go to. Look up on the internet. What do we want to go to? Call the people on the field trip and see what all they've got there. Do we want to go there? How much does it cost? We don't give kids the ability to do those kinds of things. We chew it all for them and we spit it in their mouths. Sorry if I just grossed you out. But we have that tendency to do everything for them and not allow them to do these things for themselves. And then we cannot believe why they don't have those skills when they become 13, 14, 15 years old. Whenever they graduate at 16, 17, 18 and go out and do their things. We don't understand why they don't have the skill set available to do these because we have been doing it for them forever. Another major no-no when it comes to homeschooling and unschooling is do not give your kid a gold frickin' star for everything we do. For those of you guys who are longtime listeners, you know this is a major pet peeve of mine. We have a tendency that every time our kid does something that is a moderately the right thing, we have a tendency to make it sound like they are the most amazing things in the world. I got to play for you guys a clip. I talk about it all the time, but let me roll this clip real quick.
I can't believe you don't want to go to your own son's graduation.
It's not a graduation. He is moving from the fourth grade to the fifth grade.
It's a ceremony.
It's psychotic. They keep creating new ways to celebrate mediocrity, but if someone is genuinely exceptional,
then This is not about you, Bob. This is about Dash.
You want to do something for Dash? Then let him actually compete. Let him go out for sports.
I will not be made the enemy here. You know why we can't do that.
Because it'd be great!
This is not about you!
My favorite quote of that whole thing is where Bob, Mr. Incredible, is talking about kiddos and how we find new ways to celebrate mediocrity. And I think that's absolutely a case. And as much as this is a kid's show, and I'm not trying to encourage you to take some kind of deep philosophical, you know, learning from a cartoon made by Disney Pixar, what I am saying is that fundamental concept that he's talking about is absolutely correct. We have found new ways to celebrate mediocrity. And when anybody is actually great, we don't get to celebrate it. Because everybody's getting a gold freaking medal. We've got to stop doing that. We've got to stop giving gold stars out when kids don't do it. That doesn't mean that we don't give a kid a thumbs up for trying. Hey, I'm really impressed that you tried this. I know how scared you were to do this, but you did it anyway. You didn't do a very good job, but we can fix that. We've got to start being honest with our kids about their performances. And when their performances suck, that doesn't mean you be mean about it. But we've got to let them know that we're going to grow. We've got to get better at this. You know, I think if we did this more often, if we stopped convincing every football player that they're an amazing football player, if we stopped giving out gold medals to every single soccer kid who shows up for soccer practice, if we'd stop, you know, telling every single basketball player that they're the next Michael Jordan or whatever else, if we'd stop feeding them this crap, maybe they would actually go find something that genuinely they were good at, something that brought real happiness to their life. We've got to stop feeding our kids a load of crap. Because I'm telling you, when you do this, you set up a line of confusion that's not good. You see, it convinces a kid that they have to get rewards, even for things that they want to do. You see, the goal of learning in this kind of setting that we're talking about is we want them to fall in love with that learning. We want our kids to fall in love with finding new information and assimilating it so much so that they'll get out and do ourselves. However, in traditionalized modern education, what does it tell you that we're supposed to do for a kid when they learn something? They get a reward for it. They get a 90, they get a 100, they get a piece of candy or a sticker or a little stamp of some goofy looking guy with his hat on backwards saying, "Way to go." We've got to start allowing our kids to do things that they want to do and just experience the joy out of it. where they're not getting something from it other than what intrinsically is valuable to them. Next off, we've got to stop getting away from this mentality that we've got to put our kids into some kind of percentile rank. They're a 90, 100, they're an A student, a B student, a C student. We have got to get away from this when they're little. Don't get me wrong, guys. I'm a competitive man. I like to win. I like to go far. And I like to do it better than the other people that did it. I am a competitive man. And I believe there's a place for competition. I believe that the doofus that decided that we needed to take scoring out for little kids just so they could have some more fun is a total doofus. I do not believe in that. I think kids should absolutely be allowed to compete. And I think they're allowed to keep score. But one of the major issues, the major contentions that I have with public education systems right now is that what we do is we rank and percentile our kids on how well they can follow our directions. Who can do it the right? Who can do it best? Who can get it more for what Miss So-and-so or Mr. So-and-so are asking from us? Who can do the best job of following directions? You see here, if you're a new listener, you're like, well, Trey, I mean, what's wrong with a kid learning how to follow directions? Here at the Family Podcast Network, we reject the idea that kids should obey us. We do not agree with, at least most of us, do not agree with the principle of obedience from our children. Well, wait a minute, Trey, what do you mean by that? We absolutely believe that kids should be taught to be kind and thoughtful and courteous and respectful. We believe that kids need those qualities to be successful in a world like we have today. However, there is a big difference between kind and thoughtful and courteous and respectful. There's a big difference between that and obedience. It looks the same often, but one of them is done because they are afraid that if they don't do it, they'll have to suffer the consequences. The other one is done because I'm afraid if I don't do those things, it might hurt you. It might break your heart. It might make you feel less than a person or a human. You see, one of those is motivated out of desire to see everybody as human. The other one is motivated out of self-interest. I don't want to get myself hurt. I don't want to get my butt busted. You see the difference there? We do not believe in obedient kids. We believe in kind, thoughtful, wonderful kids. And those often look very much the same. Frequently, we've raised our kids with this mentality. And frequently, while I'm sitting out there, just the other day, we were sitting in Walmart, and a little old lady just kind of leaned over and said, "You just have some of the most obedient kids I've ever seen." And I said, "No, ma'am, they are not." And she looked at me like I had just said that I worship Satan. She looked at me so funny. I said, "Ma'am, they're not obedient children." I said, "They're kind and they're thoughtful and respectful." And I said, "But I need you to understand that. They do everything and they say yes, ma'am, and they say yes, please, and they are kind and polite to you like they have been while we've been sitting in this Walmart line. Not because they feel if they don't, they're going to get their butt whooped by me or something else. They do it because they respect you." Do you see the difference there? So we do not like the idea of obedience. And so many schools are built around the premise, you will obey me. Now, is there necessarily a bad thing with that? I mean, we like the idea of kids obeying teachers. And in most cases, you have great teachers. And the obedience that is expected from kids isn't necessarily a bad thing intrinsically. We reject it as a philosophy of life. However, it's not necessarily a bad thing in and of itself, right? But all it takes is you get that one person in leadership that's just a bad apple. They're not a good person, bad egg, rotten egg, right? All it takes is that one person. And if you've taught your kids to obey, you see what happens here? And so much of especially the younger kids' classes in public schools that is rejected by at least most homeschooling and almost all unschooling is the idea that a kid should get graded by how well they follow the directions. We don't want that. We don't want our kids labeling themselves as, "Well, I'm a solid B student. I'm a BC student. I'm an F student. I fail. I'm an A student." We don't want our kids acknowledging that. We want them to be different. We want them to be set apart. We don't want them to sit there labeling themselves to this or that or that or this. We want them to have an infinite amount of complexity that they can choose from to create the self that they want to be. And it is so difficult to do that. A little bit different in that in terms of this ranking. This is a little bit different, but I wanted to take the time to kind of delineate this from the previous one. Another thing necessary for healthy and good education of kids is we want to train our kids to not just follow without thinking. We want to make sure that any time that our kids are doing something, every time that they're taking the initiative just to think and to try something new, if they're trying to make suggestions or a way to do it better or different, we praise and reward that. We don't want them just following along. The reality is the kids that do the very best in public schools would be the very worst for at least a time in a homeschool and unschooled condition. Now you're saying, well, Trey, I mean, my kid is an amazing public schooler. Are you saying that we shouldn't bring them homeschooling? No. What I'm saying is they're going to have a harder time at the start because there's going to be more thinking required. There's going to have to be more them establishing who they are and not just pleasing teacher, Mr. So-and-so or Miss So-and-so teacher. They're going to have to think harder than they've ever had to think in their life. And they're going to be resistant to that because the reality is that this docile following, this just doing whatever we're told to do when we're told to do it, how we're told to do it, is much easier in life to do. And a lot of times it takes some time to unlearn that. What I'm trying to say is what is considered a good student in public school is no longer a good student at home. The next one that we've got to do if our kids are going to want to learn well is we've got to stop using stereotypes. We have got to stop using stereotypes. What am I meaning? Particularly gender stereotypes, right? Boys are going to be scientists and architects. They're going to be construction workers or foremen. They're going to be CEOs or presidents of companies. What are girls going to be? Girls are going to what? Work at daycare centers? Girls are going to be secretaries. Girls are going to be graphic designers or clothing designers. I mean, whatever we come up with, all of that is crap, guys. That's all crap. It is something that you've been fed and told is the right thing to do. Little girls need to grow up to be scientists. Little boys need to grow up, and I'm talking fully masculinized little boys with no effeminate traits, grow up to be fashion designers. We've got to get out of this mentality that there are certain jobs for certain people. We've got to get out of this mentality that kids have to be a certain thing. And guys, I see it go both ways. I see the moms and dads who think their kids should grow up to be perfectly girly, and their girl isn't that. But I've also seen the flip to that, to where they think their girl should grow up to be super, strict and strong, and they'll reject if they have a girly one. We've got to start, getting rid of these stereotypes. We've got to start allowing kids to become who they're going to become. We have got to start allowing them to be who they're going to be, and that may not be who you are. We've shared here at the Family Podcast Network that my family is a firearm family. We love them. We love them when they're practiced in safe, controlled environments with understanding of all of the different rules. We have six specific, but five main rules that we are required in our household for you to know and be able to recite and practice actively before you're even allowed to consider going shooting with daddy one day. We're big, 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 big into firearms. But there's a couple of things that we have to that. Number one, I have to remind myself that one of my girls may be my biggest shooter. And it may be that my son will never shoot. It may be that none of my kids ever want to shoot a firearm or carry a firearm with them. You know what? That's okay. We've got to move past what we think are going to be their interests later in life. We have to be ready to embrace them for what they are. My daughter Anna is 7 years old, and she's a scientist, biologist, loves animals. She is a science junkie. My son Grant, he's a classic boy, there's no doubt. He loves Halo and shooting and guns. He wants to go shooting with his daddy, but he is the most emotionally tender little boy we've got. He's the one who is the most thoughtful. He's the one who is the most caring. When little baby Charlotte, 1 year old, gets hurt or falls, he's the one who's always thinking about her. When everybody comes running in to come eat lunch, he's the one who stays out there with her to walk her in the house. He is my sweet, thoughtful son. I've got another daughter Hora is my 4-year-old. And let me tell you, unlike her sister, she is my girly little girl. My daughter 7 has never had her ears pierced. My daughter, Cora, wanted hers done at 3 years old because she liked them because they were pretty. Whenever they were talking about what they wanted to get for, or what they wanted to be when they grow up, you know, Grant was saying, I want to be a shooter. Anna was like, I want to be a, you know, I want to run a zoo. And my daughter said, a princess. Cora, I'm going to be a princess. She is pink and she is frilly and she doesn't like to get dirty. And I love it. And Charlotte, oh goodness, Charlotte. She is turning out to be my most independent, problem-solving, gets-into-everything little girl. She's the one that when she sees something on top of a crate that she wants to get on top of, she doesn't see something that she can't get. She starts to see solutions. And the next thing I know, she's gone into the bathroom and drug out the little stool that they use to brush their teeth, and this 1-year-old little girl has pushed it all the way back into the other bedroom and pushed it up to this crate, and she is now climbing on top of this crate that she wasn't supposed to be able to get onto. She thinks and she problem solves. She is one that will never wait for a man to come save her or rescue her because she's going to probably figure it out before they get there. And I love it. We've got to stop pushing our kids into stereotypes educationally. The last thing is, don't stomp out their individualism. Let them off the leash, guys. Let kids go do the things that they want to do and let them go do it as much as they want to do it. Let your kids get out there. You know, some people say, I had somebody when I shared this particular type of a similar episode to this, I had a parent get back just super absolutely snarky with me. Well, you're saying that if my son wants to go run out and play video games, then I should just let him. Yeah. Now, I'm not saying that maybe we don't need to have some levels of training on this. We need to work with them and come up with a schedule for when we're going to do it, when we're not. I'm not suggesting that a kid should sit in front of video games all day long for the rest of his life. But maybe that's what they prefer to do when everybody gets to sit down and start working on stuff. Maybe that's what they would do. Well, why would I do that, Trey? I literally have this question. Why would I even want to do that? I said, do you realize that my son is now teaching himself to read because of video games? Well, what do you mean? Just the other day, this is a true story, by the way, guys. Just the other day, we were sitting down and we were playing something, and Grant downloaded this new thing on Netflix or something. He actually downloaded it as an app on the Xbox, but it was called Halo Waypoint. And it has all these cool videos and cool things that you can read up and learn about the different characters. Well, it popped up with a character profile of Master Chief, the main character off of Halo. And my son looked at that and said, Dad, what does it say? So in true to form for Gibson style, I'd finally just kind of reached that point where I was tired of doing it, and I just looked over at him just like I did with Anna. And I said, I don't know, buddy. You're going to have to learn how to read. Well, we did that for a few days. Dad, what's that say? I'm not going to tell you, buddy. You're going to have to get up and learn how to read. And finally, he was so frustrated one day, he just goes, ah, and I heard, boo-dee, as the Xbox was shutting down. And I looked over at him, and he tromped out of that room. I thought, what is this guy doing? And he came out carrying all of the reading supplies. He, not only that, guys, not only did he go get it himself, he knew exactly which books were the reading books. He'd been plotting this. And he went down in there, and he sat down, and he started looking through it, and he started copying his alphabets. And I was getting ready. I was so ready to come in and start teaching him what he should do. And I let him go. And he sat down. The first thing he did was he started writing the alphabet, uppercase and lowercase. And he got through it maybe once while I was sitting there watching dishes, just kind of watching over my shoulder. And he started going through it again. He goes, okay, Dad, this is an A. I said, yes, it is. And he goes, it makes the ah sound. Very good. And we started talking about some of the other. It also makes the A sound. We started talking about some of those. He came back and he said, B, B. And he started going through these things. See, what happened was he'd already been recruiting his sister to help him previously. Well, while we were in there sitting there working on all this stuff, my daughter overheard this. My 7-year-old daughter, who taught herself to read, well, she came in and was intrigued. Next thing I know, my 7-year-old daughter has pushed me out of my chair, and she's sitting there. And she's educating my son and teaching him the different sounds. What sound does this make, Anna? Just like her daddy. She goes, I can't tell you that. What sound do you think it makes? Just try. Just try to sound it out. Okay, no, that wasn't right, Grant. Here's what it is. You got it. Good job, Grant. Gave him a little round of applause. And she sat there and she gave him an entire educational experience. And I'll tell you, he heard it better from her. I'm a pretty good teacher. That's why I do what I do here. That's why I'm so good with kids. Let me tell you, I can't hold a finger to my daughter. But see, whenever you stamp that out, when you don't allow them to be autonomous and make decisions and choose, when you don't allow them to go in their different directions, whenever you let them off that hook, you stamp out that possibility of them being able to do this. And I'm telling you, that is why you do not want to spend your time. Now, I'm going to separate this out from homeschooling a little bit. As an unschooler, this is why you don't want to plan out your kids' days. You don't plan out your field trips with them. You set them up so that they do it. Okay? The one thing I also want to leave you guys with, it's the one major failure that I see the public education system misunderstand, is this one concept right here. Guys, if your kids are struggling to understand the material, it is not necessarily their fault. I think one of the number one reasons why we're having such a difficult time in our school systems today is because as teachers, we have begun to celebrate mediocrity. We give teachers a gold star for showing up. And we've rooted out the genuinely exceptional ones, because the reality is in public education right now, in the public education governmental system of education, you can be a sucky teacher and still get paid just as much as somebody who makes a crap ton. And that ain't right. That breeds out exceptionalism. That breeds out teachers that are genuinely good at what they do. Why do it? Because you can be a crappy one and still get paid the same amount. It is our responsibility for our kids to learn. And it's time to start taking responsibility for that. And it's a funny, funny thing, because it's about taking responsibility for it by actually not taking too much responsibility for it. It's about allowing kids to become responsible for those things and to get fired up and to get interested about them. It's about our job to help them, number one, find out those things that they're interested in, and then number two, to help provide them with the resources and then to step away. You understand? Do you see how this differs? And do you see why this is so important? Guys, I know that wasn't an entire 15. We're at 47 minutes, and we've got to start wrapping it up today. But it's time to start taking a look at how do kids learn effectively. We've got to start taking a look at our public education system and asking ourselves, is this really working? If we've had to go through major reforms like To the Top, No Child Left Behind, and Common Core, if we have to continue to revamp this system, is it really working? We can get pissy and upset and angry and, oh my God, it doesn't make my butt hurt, my little feelings as teachers. We can do that crap all we want, or we can finally get off our butts and say, we are not cutting it. Or hey, you know what? If you want to sit there and keep doing the same old crap and keep waiting for different results, that's fine with me. You're not going to educate my children. You're not going to teach my kids. And I'm going to do my dangdest to make sure that I can convince everybody else that you have the resources to bring your kids home and to educate them better than they ever could have received in a public education system. I'm not saying this because I'm angry at you. I'm saying this because I'm angry with a system that you've adopted as some kind of golden child, golden calf, amazing thing that can never be fallible. When the reality is, it doesn't work. I'm going to be frank with all of y'all, and y'all are probably going to find this surprising. I would rather publicly educate my kids. Honest to God, this is not a joke. This is not an appeasement. I'm not trying to make y'all feel good because I said something pretty stiff there. I would rather educate my kids publicly. I would rather them be inside of a school where they're around friends doing amazing, awesome things and learning at the same time any freaking day. But we do not work in a system inside of our educational system that actually allows that. It has failed. It's failed us as parents. It's failed our kids. And it's failed you teachers. But unfortunately, some of you guys arbitrarily swallow the pill that you're handed. But I'm telling you this, and I'm saying all this to you guys that are out there who are homeschooling your kids today, and to those of you guys who have been thinking about it, who are listening to this now, there is an awakening. People are waking up and recognizing that I deserve to provide my kids the very best that I can. They deserve to have the best learning experiences that are possibly available for them. And they're waking up to acknowledge that, you know what? State of Texas, public school, public teachers, if you won't fix the problem, I'll do it myself. I don't care what it costs me in terms of finances. I don't care what it costs me in terms of my time. You know what? If my wife, this is me speaking as Trey, if my wife is in fact more intelligent than me, and I believe she is, I believe on an intelligent quotient, she actually outscores me. My wife is more intelligent. She's more ambitious. She pushes harder and drives herself further than I do. And she could probably go out and find a job making more money than I do. But even inside that, we could be making a dual income. We could be making a crap ton of money right now. And we could have that new house that we bought ourselves and those new car payments that we could be using and the iPhone 5 that I could afford to do and a whole other gun safe filled full of ammo. Ooh, that would just delight my heart. I could have all that. If we put my wife to work, I could get all of those things. We have made a choice that if you won't fix it, we will go through a loss to ourselves to do it ourselves. Well, all right, guys, that's all that we have for this episode of the Family Podcast Network, helping you work with your tough kids and even those that aren't. Guys, I know it got intense today. I appreciate you sticking with me. For those that I have not pissed off badly enough that you'll never return to this show, thanks for staying. Hang tight with me, and I believe that if we can handle this stuff, if we can handle these hard things, these topics that offend us and make us hurt and make us upset and frustrated, if we can handle these things that put us to the challenge, I do believe that we are on the road, especially in education, to being able to take that stress out of the parenting and get to a better place. Guys, make sure you enjoy yourself the rest of this Wednesday and Thursday. And if nothing else, come join us back here. We will not have a Real Family Guys podcast, since Jeff is still going to be out on vacation with his family. But we will have another episode of the Family Podcast. You guys have a great day. We'll see you guys on Friday.